Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 19th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing at EOA Jr., and joining me is host of EA Play Live 2020, Greg Miller.
I am glad you could book me. You know what I mean? I brought the shirt and everything. Everybody loved the shirt. A lot of people hated the conference. A lot of people loved the shirt, though. So the shirt
really?
Is here.
Did people really hate the conference? That surprises me.
I mean, Blessing, it's the internet. You know what I mean?
True. Very true.
Literally, you throw out, do you like the color blue? And half of it's going to be, I love it. Half of people are going to be hating it. But yeah, most people universally like me. So I can take that.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of people who just hate Greg Miller, and I understand, so they hate me.
How does it feel the day after getting to introduce Skate 4 to the world? Or the return of Skate to the world?
Sure. No, it was cool. I like the show. I thought it was fun. Now, granted, it's because I get to go host it probably, and I get to be there from the inside and see how it all came together and all that stuff. But I thought, I still am excited for Star Wars Squadrons. Like waking up the next morning, I'm still stoked, and I'm so excited that you guys were excited too. Because that's the thing, always working in a vacuum on these kind of things, and I see it early, and like some of it's all rough around the edges, and you're like, this sounds complicated, but it sounds cool. And I'm like, if I could get the right group of people, and the fact that you, Andy, and Tim are all like, holy shit, this looks great. I was like, yeah. Yeah, all right, let's go, let's play.
Well, Greg, we're going to talk all about Star Wars Squadrons, because today's stories include a recap of yesterday's EA Play, Crash 4 leaking all over the place, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping. Today's Last of Us Part 2 day. The game's out. Finally. How's it feel, Greg? We played Last of Us Part 2.
Actually, you know what I'd rather hear from Blessing is, how does it feel to you? Last night I had the normal experience I have, where obviously our job is amazing. It is awesome to get games early. It is awesome to have these explanation or reviews and then spoiler cast up right now, youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Do not watch it until you've beaten it. But there's always this bit, and Jen asked me last night when we were laying down for bed, she's like, are you feeling the FOMO? And it's like, yeah, like everybody and my friends list was playing Last of Us Part 2. People were tweeting about it. Like there was this Naughty Dog celebration going on. It's just like my time with the game has already passed.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. This is probably the biggest game I've played before release. And I got into review and all that stuff before release.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like having that be the case, seeing everybody like jumping into it, I was playing a game last night. I was playing SpongeBob Rehydrated last night, and as I was scrolling through my games, I saw Last of Us Part 2 pop up, and I saw like pretty much half the people that were online on my friends list were playing Last of Us Part 2, and I was like, man, what a weird feeling to right. One already have played the game, but now like I'm in that period where I'm just waiting to see what everybody has to say, what all the takes are going to be, what we already know what reviews are, but you know what the audience reception is like. Are we spot on with how we think people are going to react to this game?
Gone to the spoiler cast yet today?
I've not read the comments because I've made it a thing not to agree
with us at all.
Really? I saw the like dislike ratio, and I was like, really? How?
Yeah,
like
what? Kind of funny videos usually are like what, 95-5 like dislike, and like this one is almost 50-50 right now.
Yeah,
I was talking to Tim about it earlier. We had a little meeting, a little catch up session, and one of the things I brought up was both of the spoiler cast that's up right now, and then over on the Kinda Funny subreddit, of course, reddit.com/r/kindafunny. There was a discussion piece posted that was discussion spoilers. There seems to be a gap between the reception of TLU between critics and players. Thoughts on why? The way I'm interested to see how it nets out, because my thought process on it right now is, the critics have played it, finished it, had discussions. They love or hate it, or they know what they think of it, right? But mainly, obviously, positive. I think then there's this huge group that is most Kinda Funny best friends that are playing it right now and will not want to hear about it, talk about it, have an opinion about it till it's done. And then I think there's another group that either didn't care that much about it or didn't give a shit at all about it and just read the spoilers, and then that got them mad. That they what they parsed from that made them angry, and that's why they're in there. And so I think the only people who would go into the comments now are the people who don't really give a fuck. Then that's, to be clear, I'm painting with a broad brush. I'm well aware that some people already have beaten it. A lot of people don't like it, and yada, yada, yada. I'm fine. That's fine. But you understand what I'm saying, that for, what, months now, weeks now, it's been people who are just like, this game's ruined. I mean, you're like, you haven't even played it.
Yeah.
And so how many of those right now are legitimate comments and legitimate opinions happening right now on YouTube? Or are they the same people that were in every other comment section who are just there now to be mad about what they think happens in the game?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the game just came out, what, 13 hours ago, about? And the game is... like that, the game is way longer than that. And yeah. So when I saw the like dislike, I was like, okay, well, most of these people probably haven't played this game, unless like these are all pre-release people or people in international areas that might have gotten the game way before. But like, yeah, it's interesting to see the reception so far. I'm curious to see a week or 2 weeks from now when people actually finish the game, where audience reception nets out. Because yeah, right now it does feel like it's a lot of noise from people who read spoilers and got upset, or people who just don't care as much.
You know, for us, and I see in the chat here too, Gadget Mike 21 says, so why upload the spoiler cast already? For us, it's, we want it to be there when you do beat it. A lot of people are going to beat The Last of Us Part 2 this weekend, and will want to go have that discussion, and they may not have a friend who beat it, though, just like when we all beat it, so they can go listen to their best friends talk about it. Me blessing Tim and Christine Steimer from What's Good Games, and have that conversation there. Like, the thing with our spoiler cast is that they are always long tail content. I think most Kind of Funny content you put up, and it, like, very, like, this show is games daily, right? So it gets, if it's lucky, 24 hours in the sun, usually more like 12 or something before it's just old news, nobody cares and clicks on it again. Spoiler casts, we found, have had some of the longest tail of content. When you look at our God of War one, when you look at our Spider-Man one, both having the game directors on both of those. You know, next week, of course, Neil, Ashley, and Troy are coming through for a different kind of spoiler cast with me on the games cast. The week after that, Laura Bailey's on. We have cool friends to talk about all this stuff. Like, I think what's interesting is that, love or hate The Last of Us, wherever people come down on it, I think that there's so many interesting discussions to be had.
Greg, on the topic of Last of Us 2 audience reception, the Nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you, Kaden, says, hi, blessing Greg. The Last of Us 2 is out on Metacritic, and naturally, it's getting shit on in the form of user review scores. Last I checked, it was at a 3.4. While the review aggregate site is cool and all, should Metacritic take responsibility for these review bombs like Steam did? While nobody thinks about review bombs too positively, it still feels dumb that Metacritic, one of the biggest sites for media reviews, lets review bombing be rampant. How could they fix this? Could they take the Rotten Tomatoes approach and just turn off comments? Could they remove the user review feature altogether? Are there other ways that you've considered that could improve the site to be much more open, truthful, and less trolly? Thanks.
I mean, my knee-jerk reaction, I haven't thought much about it, and my knee-jerk reaction is, let them eat cake. Go do whatever the fuck you want over there. I think if someone is going there and review bombing a game, movie, whatever on Metacritic and thinking that's making their point, I think it's actually working against them. When you go to a Metacritic and you see that Last of Us has a 95 or a 96, whatever it is, and then has a 34 or whatever with users, that doesn't make me go, man, the critics got it wrong. It makes me go, oh, man, same thing is always happening. Internet's going to internet. Who cares? I don't know who wades into Metacritic user reviews and reads that and goes, oh, yeah, they're making some good points here, right? Like, I'd much rather go read people putting stuff up on their blogs, that they're putting out their tweets, that they're being aggregated on smaller sites, that they're being on podcasts having conversations. Now, this is myself. I can't speak for everybody. There probably are a bunch of people who go there and do that. But for me personally, I think there's enough diversity in The Last of Us reviews that are critical, that are traditionally, are the traditional critic reviews, that I wouldn't need to wade into what does the internet say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go look at the only user reviews I've ever really found helpful are Amazon ones. And that's because there's just a bajillion. You can sort by who gave it 5 stars, who gave it 2 stars, who gave it 3 stars. What's going on? They have the questions they answer. Amazon does it good.
Yeah, and then that's my thing too. I think between like Amazon and Yelp, those are the only times where I'm kind of paying attention to user reviews. In terms of Metacritic, like I don't really know what the solution is, because the first thing I would jump to is, yeah, don't allow people to review games until the day the game's out, which I assume is the case for Metacritic. And then aside from that, like, maybe surface critic reviews above user reviews in a way to where now, because I know when I go on Metacritic, there a lot of the time it's side by side in terms of what you're looking at. And so you have like the left side of the page be the critic reviews and the right side of the page be the user reviews. Maybe make it so that user reviews get less real estate on the screen. But like, even that feels like a minimal thing and a thing that can be taken a wrong sort of way, because I feel like in some instances you don't want to make it seem that like critics get the last say on media or on sure. on games or on art, you know, because you'd like there to be this sort of democratic approach to how we talk about art and talk about games and how everybody is able to have a say and have their voice heard. But in terms of Metacritic, I think them as a site kind of had to like look in the mirror and be like, oh, okay, what is our purpose? Like, what are we here to do? And when you do click through on a lot of like Metacritic stuff, the first score you do see is the critic score, which tells sure. me that they want to prioritize that.
I open it up right now, right? And that's what you see. You see this giant green 95 next to Last yeah. of Us and the Metacritic Must Play Award. And then over to the side, the smaller 3.4 user review.
Yes. And so I don't know if the solution is to just commit to that all the way and just be like, hey, like user reviews are now going to be like this small corner over here or what. But yeah, like review bombing sucks. And I mean, in some cases, like I think that information can be useful, knowing that an audience doesn't agree with the critics. I think that can be useful information.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, in the cases of review bombing, I really don't know what the solution is.
I think, again, it's the same as always with review bombing, where I just don't know. And again, I'm speaking from Greg Miller's point of view. Maybe you have a different one. And I totally understand that. That I just don't know anybody who's ever gone to Metacritic and been, other than the story of how different they are, has gone to Metacritic and been like, oh man, the user review is what sent me right on this. Not to mention maybe the critical review didn't set you right. But I think that's also the thing with critical reviews, is that you click on it and you're going to find the 10s from, not us, we're not Metacritic scored, but like you're going to find the 10 from IGN, you're going to find the 8 from GameSpot, you're going to find on down the line of people actually thinking and feeling stuff. Metacritic, I always find, in the user review specifically, I always find interesting because, yeah, you're bringing up that, yes, it's democratic and everybody should have their voice heard. I agree, of course, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the problem here is that we're bombing this thing, we're doing this thing. You're just feeding into exactly why people don't care about user scores on Metacritic and why Metacritic does, because they want you to come click on their things and see. I'm clicked on it right now. I see a Verizon ad, a GameSpot Play for All ad. Like, they want you to come get served this ad. So they don't give a shit if you're coming in just to shit on the game. They don't come. If you come in, say the game's good, bad, or blue, they don't care. They just want yeah. you to click on it and do it. And they want you to tell your friends to come be mad here too. And then I think users, and again, I'm speaking only as myself, users come in and use Metacritic and go, oh, cool, 95. Well, I don't care. Oh, they're getting review bombed. Makes sense. Bye. And leave. And then it's the other question too of, you say, Blessing, what is Metacritic's role? What do they want to be? I think Metacritic is what it wants to be, where you come in and you go 95 and you bounce, you see all the ads, maybe you buy it on Amazon off this big buy Amazon button, maybe you don't. But I don't think that, for the most part, Metacritic is, you know, trying to give everybody all steak and no vegetables, right? Like, it's when we were when I was at IGN, that ongoing fight for review scores, that yes, they matter, but we want you to read the words, understand how we got here, please, please, please. And then you'd get these breakdowns from tech ops and ad ops that would just show that, like, people click on the link and then in 3 seconds they scroll, see the thing, and they bounce. Like, that's what Metacritic is here to be. Metacritic is here to be that aggregate that you go through and you see what IGN, Kotaku, Easy Allies, everybody rolled into one things.
Back to housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Connor Nolan, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by patreon.com/.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Sorry. No, because it's not about that, but it's a question. I don't know if you noticed, now that I'm not in front of the computer, I'm way back, and I can see, thanks to Kevin saving my eyeballs, I keep the chat actually open over here. And a while back, one of the folks wrote in and said, and it's gone now, would there be a chance for Kinda Funny Best Friends to write in with their non-trolling Last of Us reviews and opinions? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. It is not this week's PS I Love You XOXO, but next week's. So, I guess that doesn't make sense either. Not the next PS I Love You, but the one after that, after we were giving you, like, you know, a week plus with the game, that is the one where I want you to write in with your reviews. It'll be me, Blessing, and Janet Garcia from IGN talking about it.
And that'll be the episode that'll be out theoretically on the 30th of June. So yeah, the week after next week. That checks out. And yeah, I'm very excited for that. Very excited to do an episode with Janet Garcia. Looking forward to that. And again, we're brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygame, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have three stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
starting with our number one, we have an EA Play Live wrap-up. I'm going to be pulling information from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. And, of course, we did our live reactions to EA Play Live. That's live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And we also did our Gamescast post-show on it, also live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on the Gamescast podcast feed. But what I want to do here is I want to take the biggest headlines from that EA Play Live and break them down and talk about them, starting with the big one. Greg, Skate is back. Adam Bankhurst writes, Cuz Perry and Darren Chang announced that a new Skate game is really early in development. Skate 3 was released in 2010, and fans have been clamoring for a new entry. It appears they'll get their wish. Greg, are you excited for Skate 4?
Hell yeah. I loved playing Skate back in the day. Like, Skate was, in Skate 3 especially, but like, Skate was such a thing at IGN in my early days, and Skate 3 in particular. And, you know, Skate was so ahead of its time in sharing clips in the Skate universe and what you had done in the game and cool things, funny things that had happened. I know how much people have wanted this and for so long. So, yeah, I think it's awesome. It's finally coming back.
Yeah, I'm with you. That actually might be the thing I'm looking forward to the most with this next Skate game, is to see how they can evolve it with social media and how social media has kind of progressed since 2010.
Sure.
Because I think Skate 3 was kind of ahead of its time in terms of the shareability aspect of it. And Skate 4, I think, has a lot of potential in terms of pulling together video clips, pulling together photo albums, sharing to Twitter, sharing on Instagram, putting on filters, all that stuff. I think all that stuff could be awesome with Skate. Evan M. writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Blessing and Greg. A new Skate game was announced at EA Play yesterday, and to me, this was the biggest news. However, it appeared super early in development. I think it was Blessing in the post-show comment that commented that this game is probably 3 to 4 years away from being released. Why announce a game presumably so far from release? Do you think a new Skate game was even on EA's radar before the Tony Hawk remaster was announced to overwhelming support? To me, this looks like EA reading the room, seeing the vocal support for a new skateboard game, and trying to cash in. I'm all for a new Skate game, but the last thing I want is a publisher-forced game where the only reason it's being developed is because EA sees dollar signs, and not because the developer/creative team wants to make a new game. Do you think announcing a new Skate game so early was a good idea or a bad idea? Thanks for all you do. Regards, Evan M.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, how we talk about it, since 2010, Skate has been absent, and since probably 2012, every time EA has done anything, right, it's been bring back Skate. Why aren't you bringing back Skate? You know, last year at the end of EA Play, I made a joke about Skate 4, right, and like got people super pissed off on the internet because they were waiting. You know, that's your one, so many people's get hype moment for EA. I think they did it here to, you know, I obviously they did it here and they did it this early because they finally had something to say. And I don't get me wrong, as a viewer, as a fan, I much would have preferred a trailer. I would have seen some gameplay footage, some teaser stuff. And the fact that they didn't do any of that, it means you're right on the money that, yeah, they are super early on this, that it's not even to the point that Motive secret game that Mitch was talking about that got put in the montage yesterday of moving blocks in grayscale, right? We're not even there apparently with Skate 4 or Skate or whatever they're going to call it. I think that would have been a better presentation. That would have been a cooler one more thing. But in general, why did they do it here? Because they're finally moving on it and they want to let the audience know that, yes, you are heard. We understand it. We see you saying Skate 4, bring back Skate. We want more Skate. Like, we have to say, we don't want to go 3 more years of use. EA, of course, is this giant company, right? And EA, of course, fucks up all the time and makes bad decisions all the time. They make good ones too, but we're way more likely to take them into the street and flog them for their loot boxes and flog them for their terrible statements, right? So to come out and act like you're ignoring the audience, right? Like, to imagine if we took away party mode and then said nothing about it. Like, it's not exactly the same, but it would be a similar thing of like, what are you doing with party mode? Where's party mode? Why'd you take away party mode? Blah, blah, blah. It would be... Yeah. And we just ignore it. That makes us look like assholes. And like before, we've done that with Kind of Funny, where we've had not different decisions or remove things, but we haven't answered questions that are being asked because we're like, oh, well, we're going to do it on January 5th. We're going to announce it then. And we think it's building excitement. And in reality, what it was building was bile and anger that we were ignoring you and not talking to you, right? Like, I always talk about authenticity and actually communicating with your audience. EA has a long way to go with that. By no means are they there, but this is one of those steps towards it of like, listen, we hear you. You want Skate. We brought back the two guys. Let's go. We're making Skate.
Yeah, I'm with that too, especially the part about damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because for me, when they revealed it, I was excited and I was like, oh, awesome, Skate is back. I love Skate. But I also had the response of, all right, where's the trailer? All right, this is obviously very early. All right, why are we hearing about this now instead of a few years from now when it's more of a sure thing? For me, whenever a game is announced this early, I immediately get kind of skeptical about whether
will we're it actually going to
come. Yeah, will it actually come out? Like, will we actually see the final product, right? Like, where is Beyond Good and Evil 2? Where is Agent? Where are the games that were announced early that we just didn't get?
You don't even have to go that far, right? Like, remember Amy Hennig's Visceral game, like Star Wars game, right? Like, that was a thing that we got teased and shown. And like this has happened before, and it could happen again here. You know what I mean? It's very much that. It's awesome they brought out Cousin Darren, but like, are we 2.5 years away from Cousin Darren have left the EA, and they're saying that, you know, just we had different creative visions, and that game never happens. Maybe it doesn't, but again, like. How do you what would you prefer? And I'm talking to you, the audience, right? Would you prefer that EA looks like they're ignoring you and Skate's never going to happen? Or would you prefer that they go this route and say, hey, we are working on it, but it may never happen? Because again, this is something I brought up on the post show yesterday, right? That for years we've seen people when movies get announced or scripts get optioned, and people turn and go, well, man, what movies talk about movies so early? Why don't games do that? And I think there's so many more things that can go wrong making a game. I think there is, we've heard it a million times, right? That games get to a playable state and they play them and they go, fuck, this isn't fun. And then it is that thing of like, can we fix this? Can we not? Do we cancel the project? Do we move on? Like, that's the reality of the business. And I think that for better or worse, EA decided to take this one and try to act like humans and be like, all right, cool. We're working on games. Here's one of the games we're working on. And these guys are trying to bring Skate back. Now, they didn't present it in the way I am of like, we're trying to make a new Skate. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. They were very clear. I'm like, this is Skate. It's happening. So, careful what you wish for. Are we getting a Mirror's Edge 2? Who knows?
And even when you oh god, I hope not, because I really love Mirror's Edge and I played Mirror's Edge Catalyst and I beat Mirror's Edge Catalyst, but even as I was beating it, I was like, this wasn't it, Chief. You missed the bar here. But even to Evan, the part in Evan's question here where he's saying the last thing I want is a publisher forced game where the only reason it's being developed is because EA sees dollar signs. I think the reason any EA game is developed is because they see dollar signs, right? Even like, I know like the one example we can probably pull are the EA originals where they don't necessarily see money off of that. But even with those, I feel like there is some degree of safety, right? Like they've allocated some sort of budget to be like, hey, we're going to put some focus on these smaller titles for whatever reason, right? Because we want to support smaller devs, or because we want to have add personality to our catalog, or whatever it may be. I think even with those, there is some dollars and cents conversations in terms of, all right, what's the balance here? How large of a scale project can we support? And all that stuff. And I think that all comes down to dollars and cents. And you look at any other EA game, right? Like you look at the sports games, you look at Apex, you look at even the Star Wars titles, right? Like EA is making those games while seeing dollars and cents. And that's not necessarily inherently a bad thing because they are a business. Like they do have to make money. They do have to be able to support their developers. But I think EA especially is a company that, you know, you look at what they're doing and you look at how they operate. And the reason why they're making Skate 4 is because Skate 4 is going to make money for them. It probably won't make as much money for them as FIFA or Apex or their bigger titles, but there's still enough of an audience there for Skate 4. And I think it's very apparent how big of an audience there is for Skate 4 that they're obviously going to make money off of it. Or they obviously see it as a dollars and cents thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think we're all on the same page. But to be very clear, Evan, I'm like, every game is developed because the publisher sees dollars and cents. Like, there are very few instances where you sit there and go, we're doing this thing and we know it's just going to lose money. In fact, Peter Moore from EA talking about the originals is one of the few people I've heard say that publicly. And I mean, I can sit there and look at PlayStation and obviously Concrete Genie. I'm sure they sat there and were like, this is not going to do gangbusters, but this is the budget for Concrete Genie. This is what we think it'll make. We're going to take that gamble. Like, that's why people make games. I should say that's why publishers publish games and back games. Developers make games because I believe in my art. I believe in this vision. This will be fun. This will elicit an emotion from the player, right? But when you get down to why a game is actually getting, and like, you know, you say is being developed because EA sees dollar signs, it's being published because EA sees dollar signs, I would say it's being developed because people have a desire to make a fun skate game. But again, I think we often lose sight of, like, for better or worse, video games are a business. And you know what I mean? Like, you can even sit there, and again, I know I'm just a PlayStation guy, so I'm bringing a PlayStation, sit there and point to, well, look at the chances they're taking with Last of Us, and it's, you know, you're playing as a lesbian woman going out for revenge. Look at Concrete Genie and this thing they're doing, right? You can point to those, but then think of all the times we've heard from people like Sucker Punch and people like Guerrilla and whoever that went to that Sony worldwide meeting, right? Not PlayStation Studios, but like went to the worldwide meetings and pitched games to Shu, and Shu shot them down. Because, like, guess what? It's not that Shu didn't think they were artistic. He probably thought they wouldn't make money, that they wouldn't be a return on investment.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing here. And I'm looking forward to Skate. I think Skate's hopefully going to be awesome when it comes out. But knock on skateboards. but yeah, like it's one of those things where we'll see for me, right? And even to the part in Evan's question of, do you think a new Skate game was even on EA's radar before the Tony Hawk remaster was announced to overwhelming support? Yes, I do. Like I don't think they're lying when they're talking about, hey, the comments made this happen. Hey, like, you guys did this. If you look at any EA post on like Instagram or Twitter over the last however many years, there's so many Skate 4 comments there. And like, they've known, like, they know that people want Skate 4. They know that there is an audience for that. But I think for them, it was a thing of, hey, all right, when does this make sense for us? Does it make sense right now? No. All right, we'll revisit the idea in the future or in another meeting and see how we can justify this game's existence. And I think they finally got to the point where they could justify making the game, thus it happening.
Yeah. If anything, I think when they saw Tony Hawk get remastered, like, fuck, god damn it, we were so close to being out first, or saying something, not out.
Greg, let's talk about Star Wars Squadrons. We now know way more about the game. Again, this is Adam Bankhurst from IGN. EA Motive revealed gameplay of its upcoming game, Star Wars Squadrons, a game that takes place after Star Wars The Return of the Jedi. Featuring both single-player and multiplayer, Star Wars Squadrons aims to be the greatest Star Wars pilot game ever. The campaign will have players assuming the role of both a New Republic pilot and Imperial fighter pilot as part of the Vanguard and Titan Squadrons, respectively. Multiplayer will include modes like Dogfight and All-Out 5v5 Battle and the signature mode Fleet Battles. Fleet Battles feature multiple phases and begins in a social hub that allows for strategic planning. Then players will enter a battle that begins with a dogfight in the middle of the map. It then transitions to one of the teams attacking the enemy's medium-sized capital ship before finally taking the battle to the enemy's flagships. Star Wars Squadrons will be released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 2nd, 2020, with full crossplay and VR support for PS4 and PC. Oh, and there are no microtransactions. Greg, okay, we're all excited for this.
Yeah, surprisingly. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's me, for me, you know, I think I really fell in love with Star Wars. You know, I enjoyed the films fine or whatever before, but like fell in love last year with going to Galaxy's Edge, playing Fallen Order, getting my lightsaber, being a goon. But even then, like, I started up Battlefront 2 afterwards, the single player portion of the game. And I was like, why did I fall out of this? Because I had started it at launch and then played for a while. And I was like, oh, this is why. I just fell out of it. And I downloaded Old Republic the other day, the MMO that I played at launch. Yeah, I played it at launch back in the day in the old spare bedroom on the PC. I was like, you know what? I want to kick the tires on that again. So I downloaded it, but haven't started it. And then even when it was getting talked about, I was like, this sounds cool, but I don't know if it's for me. Like, I didn't grow up with the, I want to be a X-Wing pilot, right? I didn't have that dream like so many people did watching Star Wars. My best friend Poe did, right? And I would go to Poe's house and help him set up computers, believe it or not, set up computers and then watch him play TIE Fighter and X-Wing and all that crap. And he loved it. But I was like, yeah, when they announced this, I'm like, that's cool. It's going to be fun for, you know, people. The cinematic trailer is cool. And then watching the gameplay and seeing the depth and then starting to let yourself dream of like, oh man. And it was that thing of like, I know I'm going to play this and I probably will finish the single player and never play it again. And then to watch you guys on the live reacts be like, this is awesome. We're going to be terrible, but I'm in. And I was like, if we can have a team of terrible pilots that just play the PvE section together, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly the same. This trailer was the one that for me sold the game to me, right? Like I saw the original cinematic and we talked about the rumors and all that stuff had me like, had all that stuff piqued my interest, but this was the thing that grabbed my attention. Yeah. Greg, a question I have for you.
Sure.
And this is going to be me showing my cards a bit.
Oh, here we go. I love it.
How do you think this game is going to review? Because I was eyeing it a little bit for our fantasy draft that we have going on for PSLV XOXO. And I sat there and I was like, all right, I could pull this game, or I could like bid on this game, but I don't know if I think this game is going to review as well as I want it to, right? Like, do I think this game is going to get above a 70?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where my inner battle was happening, right? Like, where does this game land around a 70? Because I then looked up Star Wars Battlefront 2, and that game at launch, I think, reviewed at like around a 66 on Metacritic, which for me wouldn't be a good poll for the fantasy draft.
I mean, I feel like I don't want to show my cards. I bid on it last night. All right.
Oh,
so there you go. And I know you have no money left in the bank after your giant Miles Morales.
Yeah, I got $1.
I don't think I have to worry about you beating me for it. Hopefully Dornbush doesn't hear this. Nobody dime us out to Dornbush, right? For me, it's going to be interesting because it's what are your expectations for this game? I think that in the lead up to it, right? One of the big things you were talking about, it's $40, which you thought like, oh, that sets your expectation of like, what are we really getting, right? That was revealed beforehand or leaked or whatever. And it was this, okay, so is it going to be a real game? Is it going to be full of a, you watch what we saw yesterday and the excitement everybody has, and even like, because it looks incredibly nerdy. Of like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, you got to manage your power to your weapons, but then if you're getting shot, downplay that to your shields. And it's like, it seems like the evolution of the memories everybody has with X-Wing and TIE Fighter, right? And so I think if they can nail that, if they can make the combat of flight fun and get you into it, I think then when you add in a $40 price point, then when you add in cross-play, right, that you're able to play with one giant pool of people, then you add in the ability that, yes, not only is it cross-play, it's cross-screen, it's VR if you want it to be, it's not VR if you don't want it to be. Like, I think even if it's a smaller experience, even if the campaign's only 5 hours, and because it sounds like the campaign's leading you into the multiplayer, right? Like, it's going to teach you the ships and then let you go off and do your thing. I feel like it's that game that could score well and just be in, hey man, for what this is, it's good, it's great, it's, we enjoy it, we're having fun with it. And I think that with those expectations, the review scores could go a number of ways. I think if you come in and they are like looking for a single player Star Wars $60 experience, yada yada yada, then you're in a different ball of wax. And I think that's where it loses those points. It could also be that, again, we're just looking at it. We haven't played it. Is it too complicated? Is it going to be that, like, the single player campaign is like I am in flight school and I'm like, oh my God, I'm bored. Is the single player campaign going to be too long? You just want to get to going to play with your friends, but it is a 5 hour tutorial. Like, there's a couple different ways this could go, but I was super, I don't want to say, I was glad, I guess, for Mitch and the team at Motive yesterday that the reception was universally, from what I saw, like, this looks great. Like, I can't wait to play this. This seems like a lot of fun. Like, I wasn't expecting that based on the paper or the leaks and what we had heard about it beforehand. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of how I think it's going to review, I really don't know. Like, I think it could lie anywhere between a 60 and an 80. And I know that's like a wide range, but at this point, it really does come down to execution and what our expectations are for a $40 game. I think it being $40 helps set it better, but I think that does probably come with some sort of expectations as far as like scale. Like, where does this game end up as far as like how big it is and how much you can do, and how much it feels like a full game versus a $40 game. And so yeah, I really don't know. Either way, I'm still like looking forward to it, even if it ends up at like a 60 something. That's still like good for me because I'm looking forward to this game as less so like a, hey, this is like a critical success. I'm more so just looking for this game to be fun, and if it's fun, then I'm down for it. It's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, 100%. And that's my thing is you walk that line of I just want it to be fun to play with other people, right? Like Predator Hunting Grounds is a game we enjoy playing, right? But I hope this is better than that. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that this is like this is the impressive Star Wars experience. This is you getting lost in the cockpit. This is having these amazing dogfights and doing all this crazy stuff.
Greg, let's talk about Joseph Ferris's new game, Haze Lights. Joseph Ferris announces It Takes Two. Fuck the Oscars. Again, this is Adam Bankhurst of IGN who writes, Ferris announced It Takes Two, the studio's next game following Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and A Way Out. It is a co-op action-adventure platformer that will blow your fucking mind, according to Joseph Ferris. It Takes Two follows a child whose parents are divorcing. To cope, she creates imaginary versions of them who must work together to make it through the story. It Takes Two is scheduled to release in 2021. Under the EA Originals banner, we also got Lost in Random by Zoink Games and Rocket Arena. And It Takes Two looks awesome. Like, I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah. I loved the lead-in they gave of, you know, Joseph really telling his story, right, of trying to immigrate out into Sweden and stuff and what was going on there, and then trying to take, you know, obviously him pulling from those themes, I think, in his family life and putting them into this game. It seems like, yeah, the emotional indie bullshit I love so much. So, yeah, let's go see it.
And then lastly,
did you play A Way Out?
I did play A Way Out. I loved A Way Out. I thought A Way Out was awesome. Yeah. And so, like, if this is kind of piggybacking off of that with co-op, like, weirdness, or not weirdness, but like quirky ways in which you can interact with each other in game, that I'm totally down for it. I love that about A Way Out.
Yeah Kevin and I played it together. I had a good time with it.
And then lastly, from EA Play, Apex Legends is headed to Switch with Switch and Steam with full crossplay. Apex Legends will be headed to Steam and Nintendo Switch later this fall alongside full crossplay with PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Respawn Entertainment explained Lost Treasures, the latest collection event headed to Apex Legends, arriving on June 23rd, 2020. It'll see the return of Armed and Dangerous Evolved, the limited mode that only allows snipers and shotguns. It'll also introduce a mobile respawn beacon that each player will have at the start of each match. Be careful, however, because the respawn stations across the map will be gone. A new area, Crypto's Map Room, will give players a new look at what motivates Crypto. There will also be exclusive content and cosmetics that can be earned by completing in-game challenges. Greg, I know you don't play Apex Legends at all.
I almost interrupted you to read the story because I want your opinion on this. Because this was the one, you know, when I was doing all the rundown of stuff and we were, you know, rehearsing and then filming and all that jazz, this is the one that I was like, okay, this is for Blessing. And then, of course, Jeffy Grubb tries to ruin it all with his leaks and announcements leading into it. You know what I mean? Teasing what's going to happen.
I did read all of Jeffrey Grubb's leaks beforehand, and so I kind of knew all this was coming. Coward. But even still, like, the confirmation of it was really fun, was really good. I think all this sounds awesome, especially crossplay. I didn't think they would implement crossplay, because I remember when Apex Legends was first coming out, they were talking about how I forget which engine it's developed in, but they were talking about how because of the engine, because of certain things, they wouldn't be able to implement cross progression and crossplay and all that stuff. And I kind of took that and I was like, I get it. Technology is hard. You know, I guess this is the hand I'm dealt, right? My favorite game of 2019 can't have crossplay. I'm fine with it. And so to see them actually like figure it out and to see them implement it, I think is awesome. I really hope they figure out cross progression. I think that would be the thing that would really blow me away and get me excited, because the game coming to Switch is awesome. I want to download the game on Switch so I can play it in bed or on the go or whatever.
You don't want to re-roll all your progress there. Yeah.
I don't want to re-roll all my progress, because at this point in Apex on PS4, I'm like level 100 and something. And that comes with all the the cosmetics, that comes with all the guns and all the different stuff. I don't necessarily want to start from zero again. But it being on the Switch regardless, you know, without cross progression, I think it's still cool. And getting to play with whoever on any console or PC, I think is really cool as well. Like, this is all welcome additions, and the update as far as like the new event seems really cool. You know, I'm definitely down with the respawn beacon thing. Every player starts with a mobile respawn beacon. That sounds like a cool twist. I'm definitely down for it. I'm curious to see how that actually plays out. And it's always lovely to see that Apex Legends continues to continually update the game in a way that feels like it's actively refreshing. You don't really get bored with it.
Sure. I have two "you're wrongs" for you. The Nail Biologist says Apex Legends is made on the Source engine.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And then mine is that you said Jeffrey Grubb. It's Jeffy Grubb.
Oh,
it's Jeff Grubb's new name, and he has to only be referred to that. If anybody could get Dean Takahashi on the line, I'd like to change all of Jeff Grubb's bylines on GameSpeed to be Jeffy Grubb.
Greg Mavericks writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey, KFGD crew, with EA Play Live not having much in the way of knockout announcements, Do you think we'll have to wait an entire year until we see the next round of tentpole EA games? Or can we hold out hope for some surprises at a more imminent event, like perhaps the Game Awards later this year? Thanks from Down Under, Mavericks.
I think you'll have to wait for, when you say big tentpole EA games, I assume you're talking about a new Mass Effect, a new Dragon Age, all that kind of stuff. Yes, I think you'll have to wait. I do think that everyone is on the same page that this Mass Effect trilogy remastered thing is real, and that yes. announcement has to be imminent. Is it going to be saved for N7 Day, or is it just going to be announced beforehand and it comes out around? Does none of that matter at all? I don't know, but I believe that game is real. I believe that game is coming. I was surprised it was not part of this show. You know what I mean? Like when they, so the way, you know, you get approached for this kind of stuff, I have to sign an NDA and then I'm told everything. And so when I hadn't signed the NDA and I was like, well, what's happening at the show? Cause I always want to make sure it's a good show. They were like this, but they were being vague and stuff. And they were like, this thing's coming back. And I was like, oh shit. I was for sure it was going to be my expectations were low. Then I was like, oh man, the trilogy is getting remastered. And then it was Skate. I was like, oh fuck. Okay. That's better. But no, wait, where's the remaster? Right. And I think that still has a chance at it. I think, you know, I'm still surprised that they haven't done more with Jedi Fallen Order in terms of they did the, you know, the May the 4th update and added in like, you know, a new game plus and a few bells and whistles there. But like, I would have thought you ended that or in this, you tease DLC. Like, is it really over? Is Cal's story really over? I wouldn't put it beyond the realm of possibility that we get some kind of DLC for that by the end of the year. But I think if you're talking about a brand new, not even brand new, but a full-fledged game, then yeah, you have to wait for maybe something at Game Awards, but more likely than not, next year's EA Play.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only things that I really expect before next E3 are that Mass Effect trilogy and maybe some Anthem news. Like, I was actually a little bit surprised to see that we didn't get anything from Anthem. And granted,
Anthem's in the boat that Skate can't be. Where Skate, they talk about it as early as you want. Like, let's tell everybody it's there. Anthem, everyone's so fucking sick of hearing the stories of, like, did they just save Anthem? No, they didn't. Like, when Anthem's fucking rebooted and ready to go, that's when you do it. Slam in the go.
Yes, yeah, and that's what I was gonna say is that they very recently talked about how they now have a small team that is working specifically on Anthem to try and revamp the game and give it new legs. And I imagine that they're not ready for that yet. And so I wonder if that is a random date in the fall when they are ready, or a random date in the spring where they're ready and they're like, all right, let's go, or if that is next E3 where they are like, all right, here's Anthem. This is the update. It's coming. Say E3 is in June. It's coming in July, and this is what you can look forward to. Like, I wonder if that's how they do it. But yeah, like as far as anything else from EA, I don't necessarily see us getting anything before next E3. Especially with like the updates they gave us as far as next gen. Like all the next gen stuff they gave us was basically like, we're working on stuff. Here's some wireframes or whatever.
Yeah, that stuff's a ways out. Yeah, right?
That stuff is really a ways out, and so I don't necessarily expect anything big next gen coming from them soon.
Blessing, that might be a way out, but if I want something more immediate, say what the second item on the Roper report is, where would I go?
You would go right here. Story number two, Crash 4 has leaked. This is Jordan Allman at IGN. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, has been rated for PS4 and Xbox One. And again, It's About Time is part of the name. That's not me saying It's About Time for Crash 4. The name of the game is Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. Again, it's been rated for PS4 and Xbox One by the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee. The news arrives thanks to Gamatsu, who first spotted the listing. The listing, which now appears to have been removed from the committee's search results for Crash Bandicoot, offered official box art for the game. And Kevin, if you're able to go to the doc, I have it highlighted for you. If you can pull up the tweet that has the box art so we can take a look at it. The article continues, the listing also featured a short description of the game's premise. Quote, Crash is relaxing and exploring his island in his time, 1998. when he finds a mysterious mask hidden away in a cave. Lonnie Loli. The mask is one of the quantum masks and apparently knows Aku Aku, Crash's mask friend. With the quantum mask returning and a quantum rift appearing near our heroes, they decide to bravely head through to different times and dimensions to stop whoever is responsible. End quote. Greg, does Crash Bandicoot 4 do anything for you? And again, this is we're looking at the box art here that Kevin's pulled up in the video. Firstly, how do you feel about the box art?
Well, I love the fact that if you just read the underlined words, it says it's dick time. Like, I feel like that's not going to be the final box art, as most people have pointed that out. No, it's dick time.
That's actually really, really interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Or that's dick weird. It's time, but either way, it's got something to do
with it. It's dick time.
I think the box art's cute.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it. I have no reason to believe that this isn't the real box art.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, on the heels of the puzzle yesterday that Dornbush and Tim and everybody else had, right? Like, this has got to be real, and the announcement has to be imminent.
Yeah. Does Crash 4 do anything for you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like I'm
no love for the old Crash games, even when they put out the trilogy or whatever. Like I think I did Let's Plays with Tim's, and I was just like, I'm glad you're excited. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to take anybody's excitement away. It's just not what I want to play.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar boat. I'm never really excited about any Crash news. I was gonna say not because I dislike Crash, even though I kind of dislike Crash. Like I never liked those games when I played them. Yeah. But I do find it interesting that they're calling it Crash 4. I think that's a really interesting thing, because there have been Crash games after Crash 3 that are like mainline Crash games. So the fact that they're calling it Crash 4, I think, speaks volumes to how they're looking at the game. And yeah, I'm excited to see what it actually is and what the trailer is when they finally drop it.
When do you think we're getting it?
Oh, what's today? Friday? Yeah. Monday, probably.
Yeah, you think it's at the Keighley thing?
Is there a Keighley thing? What's the Keighley thing?
Yeah, I remember we talked about it yesterday. It's the Summer Game Fest Dev Showcase. It's like, if I can, hold on. I believe I'll read you exactly what it said yesterday, because I believe it teases a AAA announcement, which I would assume is going to be this. So I scroll and I scroll, and I'm in the notes from yesterday and I'm scrolling. Here we go. Yeah. Sorry, what?
I was going to say, I'm surprised they actually haven't dropped the trailer yet, like seeing that this thing leaked.
Well, I mean, when you have plans, and that's why I also think it's probably part of the showcase, right? Yeah. Game Developer Showcase, first ever developer showcase, Monday, June 22nd. A whole bunch of indies, like we talked about yesterday, Skate Story, Starbase, The Night is Gray, plus world exclusive debuts from Longhand Electric and That Game Company, and a surprise major AAA reveal hosted live on air by Jeff Keighley.
That sounds like it could be Crash.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I can see it happening Monday or Tuesday, very early in the week. I think at this point, coming off of the puzzles that they sent everybody, like that means that news is very imminent. And so like if they're not pushing it up to today, given the leaks, then yeah, I very well expect to see it on Monday or Tuesday.
In the chat, Jeffy Grub himself says, "Yeah, that's Crash. I didn't sign anything. You can't sue me."
Our last news story of the day, story number 3, we'll soon know more about that new Smash character. This is from Nintendo's Twitter, at Nintendo America. They tweeted this morning, join Super hashtag Smash Brothers Ultimate director Masahiro Sakurai on June 22nd at 7 a.m. Pacific time for a roughly 35-minute video live stream featuring an in-depth look at the upcoming DLC fighter from hashtag ARMS. So there you go. Look forward to that. I don't really have...
You stoked to wake up really, and watch that one?
Not really. Like, I love Smash. I don't really love ARMS.
Sure.
I get why they're going with an ARMS character, because that I guess now that is a franchise that they want to promote.
Oh, yeah.
As a Nintendo franchise, and they want to own it. And I imagine we'll see more ARMS in the future, given this. But it's whatever. I don't like. There's not really an ARMS character they can announce that would really get me excited. Even though Min Min was a cool character, I did like Min Min. So if it's Min Min, I might be a little bit excited. But overall, I'm just like, whatever. Cool. Greg, I'm really excited to see who this ARMS character is.
I'm so excited that I was able to weasel out of the live reaction and give it to you and Tim, and you guys have to wake up early.
Wait, are we doing a live reaction to this?
You know you are, brother. 7 a.m. on Monday. Enjoy twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Oh, what?
Oh, man.
Then me and Andy are doing the Summer Game Fest, so you're fine. Don't worry.
Can I switch with Andy? I feel like Andy
I
feel like Andy seems like an ARMS guy.
You know what? You guys have a meeting this afternoon. You can hash it out then.
But June 22nd seems so far away, Greg. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
Well, Blessing, you'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got the Coma 2 Vicious Sisters for PS4 and Switch, Radio Squid for Switch, Burnout Paradise Remastered for Switch, which I've been playing, and man, that game plays well on Switch. Absolutely love it. Yeah, dude. It's one of those ones where it's like, finally, the definitive way to play this game.
Wow.
I've been playing it in bed, and it's been such a fun experience getting to play that game on Switch. Like, I think I first played that game on PS3 when it originally came out, and it's one of those things where that game is a game that I guess I would have always looked at as a game that I should be playing on a TV on a big screen, because it's Burnout Paradise. It's these cars that are smashing. It's these graphics and all this stuff. But yeah, now in 2020, getting to play this game on my actual handheld screen, it feels like I'm finally actually in the future in a way that feels really cool.
Does it come with all the DLC? Does it still have the Ecto-1? Does it still have the DeLorean?
I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to Big Surf Island yet. That's like that's like the thing that is like the DLC island, and I haven't made it a thing to actually try and explore. But I believe actually I can pull it right now because I have my Switch. If it's remastered, then it should come with the DLC.
Cool.
Yeah, it's remastered, so I believe it comes with the DLC. At the very least, it's going to have Big Surf Island in there, which I'm really excited about because Big Surf Island is awesome. To continue, though, Railway Empire is out for Switch. Flying Red Barrel, The Diary of a Little Aviator is out on PC. Hard West for Xbox One. The Academy for PC. The Last of Us Part 2 is out today on PS4. Supper Soccer Blast is out for Switch. The Coma 2 Vicious Sisters is out for Switch. Bugzel is out for PC. Cannon Father is out for PC and Mac. Isolation Story is out for PC. Bridge, but it's spelled BRDG, is out for PC. Flowers Garden Solitaire is out for PC. The Academy, The First Riddle, is out for PC and Mac. And a new Grindstone update is available now to Apple Arcade subscribers.
Whoop, whoop.
Deal of the day now through June 29th. Join EA Access and your first month is just 99 cents. Membership lets you try new Electronic Arts titles days before release. Dive into our library, or I guess their library. This is Electronic Arts speaking.
I just copied right out of the press release. I didn't work on it.
Dive into our library of great games like Need for Speed Heat, FIFA 20, and more. Plus, nab savings of 10% on all EA digital purchases on PS4. Now it's time for Reader Mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, your support means the world to Kind of Funny. Because of you, the audience, Kind of Funny is able to do cool things like launch a new studio, have full Last of Us playthroughs with Nick Scarpino, have awesome guest weeks on Kind of Funny Games Daily, launch shows like the return of PS I Love You XOXO, and more. You can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to support Kind of Funny Games Daily and all the content that we produce on this side of Kind of Funny. Isn't that right, Greg?
That's right. We need your support. Please, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Put your money where your ears are.
Put your money where your ears are. And of course, you can gain special perks like exclusive content, becoming a Patreon producer, and more. Once again, just go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support the show and learn more about what we have to offer. Greg.
Yeah.
We did a pretty good job of putting the questions in throughout the show. So there's just one question.
Yeah, I saw this one. It looks like a redacted CIA document. Yeah. I was like, what? Oh, you blacked out the question we read already.
Yeah, I try to do I know you do the cross out thing in the doc, and I try to figure out how to do that. And it's hard to figure out a new feature of Google Docs when you're trying to
help. Oh, sure. When you're in the middle of something else, I totally understand.
Yeah. Groovy Muse writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, new Pokemon Snap, a new skate game, Patapon 2 remastered. These are the games that the internet and Greg Miller seemingly willed into existence. What game would you like to see the internet push for next?
Oh man. Groovy Muse. Can we, at some point we have to say we've gotten everything. Do you understand, Groovy Muse, that we willed into existence Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning coming back? Do you know how absurd that is? That somehow we were able to make this game that bankrupted Rhode Island and 38 Studios return through a different publisher that got it away from EA. Now THQ Nordic is back from the dead, and they've brought, you look around and it's one of those, we've said for a long time, somebody's playing in 2020, they're playing SimCity and just setting off every disaster, right? Is that the cost of these games? Is that is the pandemic a direct result from us getting too much? Are the murder wasps a direct result of us asking for too much? I feel like murder hornets. My apologies. Thanks for keeping me honest.
Important distinction.
Thank you for keeping me honest. I don't know. Anything can happen. The one I still want, and it's an EA game too, would be Road Rash. I want a new Road Rash.
Interesting. I would not have thought of Road Rash.
Well, you're a youngin'. Do you have Road Rash memories?
No, not at all, actually.
Dude, Road Rash.
I played Road Rash, but I don't have like memories of playing it in my childhood.
Road Rash on Genesis? Are you kidding me? Man, just weekends spent there smashing people, whipping chains above my head into them. Even N64 Road Rash, which was terrible, me and my friends played nonstop.
Mine would be, I tweeted this out last week, and I'm standing by it, and now I want to make it a movement. I think they need to remake Eco. And whether that is Blue Point implementing like the same techniques.
Let it go, man. Process.
No, because Eco is a masterpiece and we don't give it the respect it deserves. Eco is amazing. Eco is an awesome game. Of course, what's the name of the studio? Fuck. I forget the name of the actual studio that does Shadow Colossus and stuff. But like it was first game.
Go ahead, sorry.
Ueda is the name of the
yeah, Ueda is the guy behind him, and he's got a new studio he just founded. Is that the name you're looking for? Or are you looking for...
No, I was looking for the actual original like studio name. But we can just say Ueda. Ueda's first game, Eco. Fantastic. And it should come back. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it was Team Eco, right?
Oh, you're right. It was Team Eco. That's why I can remember it.
Well, because they were part of Japan Studios for a hot second, right? And then it was Team Eco? Or am I, yes. I might be conflating that part of it.
You're right. You're right. It is Team Eco. But yeah, I want to see Eco make a comeback.
I'm checking chat here. And it's a lot of them are asking for too much, all right? But a lot are behind me on Road Rash. Simpatico 115 has a great one. Crazy Taxi. We do need a new Crazy Taxi with a new soundtrack. Like, come on now. That'd be freaking dope.
That's a very good one.
But and people are like, Sly 5. Like, calm down, nanobiologist. You already got a new Sly, and it clearly didn't set the world on fire. You should have embraced that and been like, holy shit, we got a Sly. I'm happy.
That Mass Effect trilogy, too, I want to see it. Like, I believe it exists. I just want them to finally show it and for it to finally be in my hands because I want to play it.
That's on you, man. You could play it right now. Just go play it. I'm not going
to bust out a PS3 to play Mass Effect.
Play it on Xbox. It's backwards compatible.
I guess that is a good point.
Did you just say but you're not going to bust out a PS3?
Yeah.
Don't you have my PS3, like, right next to you?
Yes, and I'm not going to bust it out, is what I'm saying.
But it's already out.
Yeah, but it's not hooked up to the TV. My TV only has two HDMI ports, and one of those is the Xbox One. The other one is the PS4. Mass Effect Trilogy is something I would like to play on PS4, you know, just because that's my ecosystem. Nothing against Xbox,
but I prefer to play
it there. And so if they I would like to get like the actual remaster, since I know it's coming, you know? It's almost here. Probably. Possibly. It's time to squad up. NanoBodge writes in with a squad up for Twitch and says, 2 months ago, I, along with Tim, Belinda, Josh Silverman, and Alyssa, took a lot of people on a remote trip to Disneyland. Well, thanks to that success, we're doing it again this weekend. Only a couple of changes. Instead of Tim, we'll be joined by Jack Patillo.
Whoa.
And we're going to Disney World. The fun starts at noon Eastern Standard Time this Sunday as we take you through Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, and maybe Magic Kingdom if time allows. All of this will help raise money for Color of Change. There'll be surprises, giveaways, and much more. If you want to come along, all you need is a little imagination, pixie dust, and a screen. Hope to see you all this Sunday, and have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Again, Nanobiologist is on Twitch at twitch.tv/thenanobiologist. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Frank Furter writes in and says, Nintendo has updated that we will not see any other new character outside of ARMS. So there you go. Nailboxes says, breaking, Toys for Bob just tweeted the following. It's almost, quote, it's almost time. More info on our next game is coming June 22nd, end quote. And again, Toys for Bob they're the ones who are doing that Crash Bandicoot game, according to the box art.
Time is all capitalized too.
And time is all capitalized.
It's almost time. It's time.
Lastly, Bagel Soda says Nintendo added that there will be, I guess this is the same thing. There's not gonna be any new fighters aside from ARMS. And so there you go. When we tune into that Nintendo stream, it's gonna be all ARMS all day. So I'm very for days. Excited. ARMS. You know,
hey, I mean, like I said, you can debate with Andy, who's getting up at 6:45 to react with Tim to this crap
on a Monday, too. On a Monday.
Why we
can skip this. We don't have to tune in.
But it's Smash one of our games. We have to tune in.
I don't know, dude. He's making a lot of sense.
If it was Road Rash one, I'd have to tune in.
We didn't tune in for the Pokemon thing.
That was a mistake.
I mean, a lot of people said the video that was fine. What?
We should have tuned in for Pokemon.
Historically, those aren't that great. We took a gamble. We fucking lost.
The last one sucks.
Next week's
so bad.
Posts are Monday, it's me and Fran. Tuesday, it's me and Tim. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, it's Greg and Tim. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, Game Daily.